rolling it into hour number two. Welcome to the program. It is the Jim Rome Show, hosted by me, Vance Mack. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so America's team is still on the field right now, which means that Andrew Sendejo is going to be a little bit later on, maybe a few minutes. Whenever they get off the field, they're on top of it. We will find him. Trust me, we are efforting, and he will show up momentarily or shortly thereafter. We are on top of it. 1-800-636-8686. Andrew Sendejo. Coming up next hour, a busy, busy third hour. Micah Kizer of the Rams, a linebacker, top of hour number three. A cornerback for the Steelers, Mike Hilton, at 11:20 and 2:20 Eastern time. Always week that was, sometime in hour number three. The ATP, sometime in hour number three. James Kelly, sometime this hour. The Big Head, he is on an unbelievable roll. He picked another winner last night. We'll get his thoughts on the weekend. Dana White just posted an amazing bit of video involving Izzy Adesanya. There is a great fight coming up this weekend. I want to know if James Kelly's got thoughts on that. As well as James Kelly has done with the NFL, he has been murdering MMA. Like, he can't lose. Is he going to get down? We'll find out. All right, so let me quickly, as I'm efforting our next guest, let me start with some thoughts about last night. For some reason, like, it feels like the AFC South is the official home of Thursday Night Football. I mean, don't fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure every single Thursday Night Football game is an AFC South game. And it's always played in the rain. There's always a ton of penalties. And the final score is generally something weird like 18-16. And sure enough, last night was another TNF in the AFCS with Miami going into Jacksonville. That's the bad news. The good news is the final score was not 18-16. It was 31-13, Miami. The bad news is it was not a good game. Not even remotely competitive, which is saying something for Jacksonville. I mean, Duval, come on. You just let an 0-2 team come into your house, punch you in the face, and put you in the ground. Jags fans watching at home, man, that had to be so painful because there were a lot of slow-mo shots of an old dude with a massive beard screaming and running and celebrating and dancing all over your field. You just let an 0-2 team come in and absolutely punk you in your own house. That's exactly what the Dolphins just did. Actually, to be more accurate, it was not the Dolphins who punked the Jags. It was Ryan Fitzpatrick who punked the Jags, because that's what Fitz does. Are you ready for the most incredible Ryan Fitzpatrick stat of all time? This is mind-blowing. He just became the first quarterback in NFL history to beat the same team six times with six different teams. That is an incredible stat. This guy has thrown on six different jerseys and beaten the Jags six different ways. I mean, that might be my favorite sports stat of all time. This guy's beaten the same team with six different teams. What are the odds of that happening? How many teammates has this guy led to a win over Jacksonville? It would probably take somebody from Harvard to do the math on that. Oh, and did you know, by the way, Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard? Did you know he's got a mountain man beard? These two facts are finally getting some attention. You might as well put his ownership of the Jags up there as well. Somebody has got to go to the Jags Wikipedia entry and have Ryan Fitzpatrick replace Shad Khan as the owner of the Jags. Hell! Because it doesn't matter who's on his team. It doesn't matter what team he's on. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing the Jags, they're going to get punked. He's going to get you a win at some point. Take that to the bank. The TIAA Bank Field. His new home. This guy comes out here on that first drive, like his hair and his beard were both on fire. This guy was totally amped. Totally amped. This guy completes his first 12 passes. even on handoffs, he's sprinting down the field looking for someone to block. This dude's out of his mind. He's crazy, and it's awesome. His tight end, Matt Gesicki, said.
Yeah, I mean, Fitz is out of his mind. He's 38 years old and still, you know, playing this game like he's 23. You know, to have him as, you know, our leader, and, you know, you just see the fun that he has. And, I mean, after I scored my touchdown, you know, we just came off the sideline and just started yelling and screaming and chest bumping. I mean, it's so fun to play with him.
I mean, it's so cliche at this point, but it's true. Like, everybody loves him. Everybody who has ever played with this guy loves him. And let's just say that bumping was the least wild thing that he was doing with his chest last night. I'll get to it later on, but Fitz, man, he was having a blast.
It's why I still play. I enjoy playing, you know, especially when you're having success, when you're driving the ball down the field, scoring touchdowns. I mean, I just, you know, I feel like the luckiest guy in the world sometimes, getting to go outside and play football with my friends.
And then there was a lot to celebrate, right? This guy's out there being outside, driving the ball down the field, just playing football with his boys. So much fun. There was this touchdown to Preston Williams.
Three receivers over to the right, two to the left. Fitzpatrick throws over the middle, and guess who he goes for? Touchdown. It's Preston Williams at 6'3", 210 pounds with a first score of the night.
Westwood won. Then there was the Jordan Howard run at the end of an 80-yard drive.
Now on first and goal, the handoff. This time it's Jordan Howard, and he is in for the touchdown from a yard out. His first carry of the game, and Howard, the touchdown vulture, has three short touchdown runs this season now. That's his first one tonight.
Making it look easy. Then the touchdown to Gesicki on Miami's third drive of the game.
Fitzpatrick out of the gun. Looks to the right, throws toward the end zone, leaping grab at the chalk, and then backing his way into the end zone, Mike Gesicki, the third-year tight end out of Penn State, with a sensational grab on a great throw from Fitzpatrick.
A great throw. Great catch. Great throw and catch. Three possessions, three touchdowns. Jacksonville getting thoroughly humiliated. For all the hype about the Jags coming into that game, they brought out their Thursday night best last night. Receiver Chris Conley drops a pair of first downs, then commits offensive PI on one play. Gardner Minshew fumbled on the next play. Man, that is bad.
My bad, my friend.
The Jags had four pass interference calls against them, and they had a classic TNF move when they forgot to touch Miami receiver Jakeem Grant after he made a diving catch. So he gets up, he runs for another 10 yards. Classic TNF move. And then the absolute worst, I mean the most TNF moment ever, Cam Robinson getting tossed for making contact with an official.
The ruling on the field was a fumble with a recovery by Miami. It's going to be first down. After the play was over, unsportsmanlike conduct, number 74, Jacksonville, making contact with an official. Number 74 is disqualified.
Well, Cam Robinson made contact with an official, and now he is ejected from the game.
He's the one laying on the ground. He's pushing the official's hand off of him. I don't know. I have a hard time with a guy getting kicked out of the ball game for something like that.
Yeah, he was lying on the ground, and there were a bunch of guys around him, and I've got no idea if he intended to make contact with the official or if he knew that it actually was an official. And I'm not sure that warrants an ejection, but I am completely certain that getting tossed for making contact with an official is a classic Thursday night football move. And especially for Jacksonville on that night. I mentioned all that pregame hype about the Jags. A lot of that was centered on Gardner Minshew. Last night was not his night. Last night was not his night. He and Jacksonville just were not in that game at all. Minshew, 30 of 42, 275 yards, an INT, and no TDs. Even worse and even more bizarre, he threw 42 passes. He completed 30 of them, yet somehow not one receiver had more than 50 receiving yards. How does that happen? Can Ryan Fitzpatrick do the math on that for me? How do you go to the air 42 times and not one receiver has 50 receiving yards? Well, part of the answer lies in the fact that Minshew could not connect on a pass of more than 10 yards. He was 2 of 9 with a passer rating of 3.2 on anything more than 10 yards. I don't need Fitzpatrick to do the math on that for me, man. That just sucks. That is brutal.
Hey, so I've done the math.
All in all, a very forgettable game. But after that forgettable game came the post-game interview, which I've been building up to on the field with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it was incredible. If you have not seen his look, I would suggest you pick up your phone, fire up your lapper, whatever you have to do, because my guy brought some South Beach to Jacksonville. He was ready to hit the Jacksonville nightlife after that game. This guy shows up to the interview with a blacklight / neon pineapple Hawaiian shirt and chest hair. Lots of chest hair. Chest hair for days. There was so much chest hair, I thought they were using special effects. Like they were digitally adding chest hair in post. It was hard to tell where the beard began or ended and where the chest lettuce began. I mean, holy crap. That was the biggest highlight of the night. That's how bad that game was. The chest lettuce is unreal. It was like a hair shirt under a Hawaiian shirt. And if you've got a shirt like that and chest lettuce like that, how do you complete that fit? With white sweatpants. Hell to the yes. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. 18 for 20 passing, 100 out of 100 on the outfit. And don't come at me with any of that junk about old man strength or dad life tweets. That postgame look was not a dad look at all. That was a baller look. When was the last time you saw a dad who looked that awesome in a Hawaiian shirt with sweats? Never. And you know it's a bad sign when the best part of last night's game is the post-game fit. But that's the way it was. That's the way it is, especially on Thursday night and especially with the AFC South. And you know what? This time next week, we'll be thinking of this game as the good old days. And you know why that is? Because next week is a sweet showdown between the Broncos and the Jets. B-U-M-S, bums, bums, bums. It's a real good chance next week we're going to see Jeff Driscoll or Blake Bortles taking on the Jets in prime time. Hell to the no. But you know what? That's out of my control, and that's not till next week. So I'm just going to jump off that bridge when we get to it. In the meantime, I'm going to enjoy Fitz, because if you got a problem with Fitz or his fit or his chest lettuce or anything, or where he went to school, or how many teams he's played for, or how many times he's beaten the Jags with how many different teams. If you got a problem with any of that, mostly you got a problem with you. Fitz was talking about the outfit and the chest lettuce with my guy Steve Smith.
Steve Smith here. Speaking of chest hair, I love the shirt. How much more was the shirt with the chest hair? Was that an accessory? Is that custom made? You know, walk us through that process.
Yeah, I hid it for a long time, and then I realized that, you know, it's an important feature of who I am. So, you know, for all the ladies out there, I'm taken. I'm sorry. And for my wife, get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
Oh, dude, he is so great. For all the ladies out there, I'm taken and I'm sorry. And to my wife, get the kids to bed. It's late. It's time. It's go time. Hey, honey, you gonna take that shirt off? That ain't no shirt. That's just my chest hair. This guy's going to live forever. This guy's going to play forever. I want him to beat the Jags with like 20 teams. And he will. Good on you, Fitz. Great job. 1-800-636-8686. I'm still efforting Andrew Sendejo. The Browns are on the field. Of course they are, man. They're America's team. They're doing what they have to do. Micah Kizer next hour. Mike Hilton next hour. I got to find a spot now for the big head. But that could be complicated by America's team and when they're coming off the field. And I know you want to hear from the head. All of that is coming up. Don't go anywhere. Last week is in the books, which means it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There is no better place to get in on all the action than with my pals at DraftKings. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has got a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes that are now up for grabs. If you have not tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store right now because you do not want to miss this. Draft your lineup. Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's so simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Man, it is a blast. DraftKings has paid out billions with a B. Billions of dollars to winners since 2012. So they know a thing or two about cold hard cash. Download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes this week. Code ROME. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
All right, so the situation is now fluid. We are efforting. These are all radio TV terms. We are efforting. The situation is fluid. The Browns are still practicing. But they're on it. So we're still looking to get Andrew Sendejo on the program as soon as he comes off the practice field. So in the meantime, it is fluid. This could change at any point. But in the meantime, I want to reference that there is a ton going on this weekend. Despite that fact, there is no way we go into this weekend without checking in with the big head himself, the flight deck, James Kelly. Now, as many of you know, James Kelly officially is the show's digital content producer. Officially. Unofficially, he is a game-picking fool. At least he has been of late. And if you want to get paid, you better listen to him and then get down.
Everybody get down.
These weekly segments are for entertainment purposes only. I repeat, for entertainment purposes only. Do not risk what you cannot afford to lose. That said, my man is on an incredible heater. He was in studio yesterday. I asked him how he felt about the Thursday night tilt, Jags and Dolphins. He said he would hit the Dolphins plus +3. He did. If you did, you got paid. And that's not all. He went 3-0 against the spread last week in the NFL. He picked an additional winner in the UFC. He hit huge at plus +1,000 on Bryson DeChambeau at the U.S. Open. All told, since I brought him back for his on-air picks a few weeks back, James Kelly, the flight deck, the big head, is 7-1-1. Who in or out of that business can say that? He's 7-1-1. The question is, can he keep it up? We go to the phones. He is not in studio, but he is on the phones. Deck, what's cracking, Deck? How you feeling?
Man, life is good right now, Jim. I'm doing good.
Man, life is really good for you right now. I got a quick question, though. Even though we do this for entertainment purposes only, nothing feels better when you win, and nothing feels worse when you lose, and you've lived that life. In your opinion, which is the more intense feeling of the two, a great win or a bad beat?
Oh, that's a good question right there because, man, when you put so much prep into some of these games and somebody fumbles the ball or they miss a kick, or drop a pass, that's a gut punch big time. But I'm not going to lie, DeChambeau in the back nine last week at plus +1,000, that's a pretty good damn feeling. So, I don't know. I try to keep an even keel about all this stuff. I do a pretty good job of it, but I think the loss is still hurt worse.
I agree with that. I think the bad beat does feel worse. I mean, nothing feels as good as a nice win, but nothing feels worse than a bad beat, and that is more intense. The flight deck, James Kelly, is joining us. He's 7-1-1 in recent weeks. Let's get right at it. All right, so you got the Bolts without Tyrod Taylor. He's got a punctured lung. Minus 6.5 against the Panthers, who are without Christian McCaffrey. Why do you like that game, and who you got?
And I'm hitting the Chargers at home, Jim. I'm laying the points. Look, like you just said, there's not one NFL team who is more dependent on one skill player than the Carolina Panthers are on McCaffrey. Add his loss, their poor offensive line, and that both D, I think it's a tough day for the Panthers' offense. I also think that Justin Herbert can make more plays downfield than Tyrod Taylor. As long as he doesn't get careless with the ball, the Bolts win this big. I like the -6.5 at home. I'm taking the Chargers.
All right, write that down. He's got the Bolts -6.5 against the Panthers. Maybe my favorite matchup of the week, Deck, Rams at Buffalo. Now, you can get the Rams +2 if you want the points. Do you?
Yes, I do. I think it's a hell of a matchup, too, and I think a lot of people are going to get caught up on the Rams' travel schedule, Jim, because it is brutal. They literally went from L.A. to Philly, back to L.A., and now they're going to head to Buffalo. But I think great coaches like Sean McVay could use that as motivation. And look, Josh Allen has been brilliant through the air, but I just think there's a massive difference between the Rams' pass D and the freaking Jets and the Dolphins. The Bills' best approach this week will be on the ground, but I just don't think it's going to be enough. I'm actually going to take the Rams, Jared Goff, and their run game. The Bills' run game, their stats-wise, they look stout, but, dude, they're padded numbers right now. Sorry, Mafia. I'm going Rams +2.
His head is gigantic, yeah, no and he point. Is spitting second knowledge. Point. He's got the Rams +2. All right, I'm going to say that the most disappointing team in the NFL after the first couple of weeks is the Vikings. Anemic offensively last week, a shell of their former selves defensively, and another stiff challenge against the Titans. Their backs are to the wall, though, and if you want, you can get 3 points if you take them. Or are you taking the Vikings and the points?
This is a tough one, Jim, because there's really not a number that I could sell to anybody that I would say go with the Vikings. But I do think they have more talent than they've been playing for. And they are desperate. They are 0-2. And I think if they could focus on the running game, I'm actually going to go with the Vikings here. I think if Dalvin Cook could get his shot here and then get the ball more, I like their chances, actually. And I know the Titans are 2-0, but they've won those games by a combined total of 5 points. And the defense is allowing more than 400 yards a game and 136 on the ground. So I'm going to ride Dalvin Cook, the Vikings, desperation mode, Jim. I'm going to take the 3 points at home.
I like my chances.
All right, so I'm going the other way on that one. That is one that I'm going the other way with.
I think America's with you.
All right, do this. Pick him up, Adam Hawk. That's the Deck. I want to finish him up. Those are the three NFL picks, and there are a few more things I want to get to with him. And we'll do that in a second. However, as promised, we are joined right now by a safety for the Cleveland Browns. He had a huge game in that win over Cincinnati, 10 tackles in that game alone, 14 for the year. He signed with Cleveland in March. He was undrafted way back in 2010 out of Rice. The Browns, 1-1 on the season. They're at home against Washington on Sunday. Andrew Sendejo is my guest. Andrew, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for making time. Listen, take me back to last Friday. How good did it feel to be waking up last Friday morning off a big performance and a really nice win over a divisional rival?
It felt great. You know, on a short week, those Thursday games are always pretty tough. And, you know, to get back on track, first home game of the season, felt great, and then had the weekend off to just enjoy it.
That's always good after a win like that during a short week. Let me ask you about your decision to sign with Cleveland in the offseason. What was it about that opportunity with the Browns that appealed to you the most? What did you like about that situation?
You know, obviously there's some familiarity with coaching staff, coaches I've been with in the past. And it just, you know, I think when it comes to those situations, it's just, you know, what feels right. And it felt right. And that was really my biggest factor, just kind of followed my gut. And, you know, I was excited for the opportunity to come here and make a difference.
Right, no doubt. For those who don't know what you're talking about, of course, your time in Minnesota overlapped with Kevin Stefanski and defensive coordinator Joe Woods. When you talk about coming there to make a difference, you know, there's a lot of youth on your team. You're one of the more experienced players. So how do you go about approaching a leadership role and showing guys how to get things done?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of your job as a veteran when you're on a young team, is to just try to pass down any knowledge, show the guys the way. And luckily, when I was a young player, I had a lot of great leaders around me, a lot of guys that I learned from. And so it's really just me pass along the things that I learned from those guys, and, you know, just trying to get everyone up to speed and you know, show them how to be a pro. And, you know, we got a great group, and just, you know, enjoying that role of being the older vet, being a leader, trying to show the guys the way.
Andrew Sendejo is my guest. As evidence of your knowledge of the game, like, for instance, let's go back to last year's playoff game against the Saints. You had been with the Eagles earlier in the season. Then you re-signed with the Vikings. You had an immediate impact against the Saints. You had to play the nickel corner, which is a position you had never played before, and you were doing so in a playoff game. So what was your approach to that challenge, and what do you remember about that game?
That was an interesting week because you know, I didn't know I was going to be starting at the nickel, and I actually was sick like all week, so I didn't even practice until Friday, and then I showed up on Friday and they said like, hey, like, you're going to play nickel. And they didn't tell me I was going to be starting a nickel, and then I got all the reps, and then in the game I was playing nickel, and luckily I had been in that defense for a long time, so I knew all the responsibilities of the nickel. I just had never physically played it. So I basically got one practice and then got to play against the Saints, which have a pretty good offense, if you've ever watched them, at nickel. So it was, you know, it was a fun challenge. I think it kind of just, it was fun to just, you know, expand the role of different things you can do as a football player. So it just, and that's how it is sometimes. You just got to embrace it and just step up.
Actually, I have watched them, and you're right. They are pretty good offensively. Did they also not tell you that you were going to play all four phases of special teams as well?
you know, usually when you are playing a lot of defense, they pull back on some of the special teams. So week 17, I actually played every single snap of defense and every single special team. So I was, you know, I was ready for it, but in playoff conditions, everything's just heightened. Everything amps up. So luckily after about a quarter and a half, they took me off a couple special teams to save me a little bit so that I could be fresh to match up with some of the guys they got over there in the slot.
Andrew Sendejo joining me for a few more moments. You know, the game has changed so much since you first got into the league, and I know you're never looking to hurt anybody on the field or put anybody in any kind of danger, but at the same time, are you still able to play football the way you want to play football, or have you had to change your approach because the game and the rules has changed so much?
You know, there's certain things that you know you can't do. There's certain things that you can't avoid. You know, you're always going to play fast. You're always going to play hard. And you just try to do your best to follow the rules. And there's just some times where certain plays are just unavoidable, and it's just kind of how the game unfolds, you know. And obviously, like, nobody's out here trying to hurt anybody. You know, I don't ever see that where people are just purposely trying to hurt each other. It's just kind of how the game unfolds, the way everything's just happening so fast out there. But, yeah, there are some things you got to tweak. But other than that, you know, you're still – playing hard and fast.
Let me ask you something. You're always going to look forward. You're always going to think about the next game, the next challenge. But at the same time, as you and I have talked about in the past, your journey to this point really is amazing. Like, if I had said to you back in 2010, when you were undrafted coming out of Rice and you ended up playing for Sacramento in the UFL, that a decade later you would be putting up double digits.
You're going to play 10 years in the NFL. It wasn't really on the map yet, and, like, I was just trying, hopefully, to get into the league. And, you know, I think it just kind of goes to show, like, just, you know, cliche, but, like, just to dream big and, like, set your goals, like, way further, because you don't know what you can achieve. You got to shoot really high.
It's an amazing line by you, by the way. Of course, Andrew, nobody heard it because I had to dump it, because I can't go with a four-letter bomb like that on this show. However, you and I are more than welcome to do that on the podcast. That's an amazing line, though. Like, who was the coach who told you that? Do you remember?
It was, I'm forgetting his name now, but he was, he was in San Francisco last year as the run game coordinator. And it was crazy because, like, I've also got to watch him work his way up through the NFL as being, like, an assistant coach. McDaniels, he was a run game coordinator.
Mike McDaniel, right?
Yeah. I got to watch him, you know, and every time he was a coach on the other team, you know, I always get to say hi to him because he was the one that brought me to the UFL. He was kind of like the guy that recruited me, so to speak, was my area, and got me to come to the Sacramento Mountain Lions. And so we've kept up with each other. I've watched him work his way up from assistant to position coach to, you know, run game coordinator. And so it was really cool to see him, you know, go to the Super Bowl last year as a coach.
That's an awesome story. All right, so finally you're getting ready to face Dwayne Haskins and Washington. What are your early thoughts on that matchup?
You know, they got a good ball club. They're 1-1 as well. And, you know, in this league, every week is tough. There's no games that you get to take off. Every game is a challenge. Every game they're going to have some dudes over there. And so it'll be a good test for us, you know, and being at home, you know, looking forward to getting another win in front of the fans. And, you know, we just treat every week one week at a time. And then when that week's over, you just wipe it and move on to the next.
Love it. Cleveland, 1-1 on the year. They're at home against Washington. He's a safety for the Browns. 10 tackles last week in that win over Cincinnati, 14 for the year, and came off the practice field to make good on this jungle commitment. Andrew, really appreciate you. Thank you so much for doing that. That was well worth the wait. Good luck this weekend. Hope we can do it again soon.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you. Andrew Sendejo, good conversation. That's America's safety right there, repping America's team. That's a hard-nosed player. I love the way he described a few of those things. I love the way he described that Washington, man, they've got some dudes over there. That's the ultimate compliment, right? That guy's a dude. They've got some dudes. He was talking about Mike McDaniel. If I'm not mistaken, McDaniel is another Ivy Leaguer. He's a Yaley. He's a Yale man. It's a great story that he said to him in the UFL. Hey, man, one day you're going to play 10 years in the NFL. To which Andrew Sendejo just said, yeah, I thought he was full of bleep. All right, so what I want to do is this. When we come back, I just want to button up the segment with the head. He gave you 3 NFL picks. I want to reset them very quickly in the event that you want to take advantage of them and get down and get paid. Use them for entertainment purposes only and see if there's anything else he wants to hit on this weekend. So I will finish that up. That's the best of both worlds, man. Like I said, it's fluid. We found our Brown. The big head will come finish things up. All of that's next. Here's a sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. All right, as I mentioned, we had a somewhat fluid situation. We were efforting, and we found our guest. So we had Andrew Sendejo, who was great. That was well worth the wait, as I mentioned. Coming up at the top of the hour, or in about 15 minutes, I've got Rams linebacker Micah Kizer. Right after that, I've got Steelers cornerback Mike Hilton. Right after that, I've got the ATP and Alvin's week that was. But I do want to finish up with James Kelly. If you're joining us late, I mentioned that James Kelly has been coming on during the NFL season. He's 7-1-1 with his picks. So he's getting down and he's getting you clones paid. We're having fun and we're doing this for entertainment purposes only. If you're also just now joining us very quickly, the games we talked about already. I mentioned the Chargers are going up against the Panthers. The Chargers without Tyrod Taylor, but the Panthers without Christian McCaffrey. He's got the Bolts -6.5. Rams at Buffalo, one of my favorite games of the week. He's got the Rams +2. James Kelly also has the Vikings +3 against the Titans. Again, I do some of this for entertainment purposes only because I know a lot of you clones like to get down. Sometimes he and I get down on the same games. Sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes we go the other way. I haven't fully decided what to do this weekend, but I've already decided to go the other way. I've got the Titans minus the points. He's got the Vikings plus the points. He rejoins me right now to finish things off. Dak, sorry about that, but you know the guest is going to take priority over you. No offense, but you understand.
Yeah, I understand, but I did miss part of that interview. What did Andrew say?
My man. Good one, Head. Good one. He dropped a four-letter bomb, and you didn't hear it because we had to dump it. Good job, okay, though. Well played by you, Big Head. All right, so you're killing it with the Shield. We know this, but the UFC is really where you live. There's an enormous fight this weekend. One of the promotion's biggest stars, Israel Adesanya, is going to fight. Close fight, tough fight. In fact, there was some great tape that Dana White just dropped on Twitter with the two of these guys with a stare down. They almost got physical. Are you going to participate in that fight?
Man, this one's a tough one, Jim. I've been going back and forth all week, and it is a great fight. These two absolutely hate each other. Izzy is 19-0, and Costa is 13-0. I had been leaning toward Costa lately because of how bad Izzy looked in his last fight against Yoel Romero, but, you know, I mean, like everything, right? Styles make fights, and I just think that Izzy does match up well against Costa. Costa's going to charge him and go at him, but Izzy's a counterpuncher, man. That's what this guy does. That's where he lives. The octagon is regular size. I think actually now, Jim, I'm going to take a plus or minus 185, and I'm going to hit Izzy now.
Oh, you are in minus 185.
Yeah. Yep, minus 185.
Hit it again. All right, because you've done even better with UFC than the NFL. Is there anything else? For instance, I know you sat out the Laker game last night. Are you looking at the Celtics and Heat? Does that interest you?
Yeah, it does interest me right now. And right now, I got the Heat plus 3. I haven't hit that yet. I'll probably go in-game. Right now, I'm laying off, but I'll probably go in-game with that one tonight. I am leaning towards the Heat right now. Tyler Hero was so great last game, obviously, but overall, they weren't. So I kind of think those law of averages will help the Heat. I'm leaning towards the Heat, but I will go in-game with this one, Jim,
You love the in-game strategy for the NBA, don't you?
I love it. It's the best thing possible. You can see how they're playing, and that first quarter, second quarter hit, that's where all the money's at. That's where I go.
Yeah, I find that on the sites that I'm on, sometimes it's pretty frustrating. I'll see something in-game, like when Anthony Davis went down last night, and I thought Paul Pierce's wheelchair was coming out, I immediately went for the in-game, but they lock you up. Like, it's kind of hard to get down in-game when things like that happen.
Dude, they freeze it up right away, and then usually when Anthony Davis is playing, I'm sure they have about four or five guys on that game to freeze it up several times during the game.
James Kelly, the flight deck, are you hearing from the clones? When you're on a heater like this, are you hearing from the clones on Twitter?
I'm hearing from the clones on Twitter. I'm hearing when I filled in for Hawk on the phone yesterday. They love me right now. The Mafia hates me right now after last segment, and so does Rit. He's been texting me about his Carolina Panthers, so I'm hearing.
Now, you understand that. That's how that goes, but if it'll make you feel better, Hawk just said, I've screened calls for 4 years, and not one person has ever thanked me for one thing ever. You sat in there for one day, and they're blowing you up, saying, yo, man, thanks a lot. Thanks for everything. Anyway, Head, that was awkward. You're supposed to say something after I stop talking, Head. Anyway, that was awkward.
Well, I was going to say next Thursday it's going to be a different tone, and they're going to hit me up there. But
Or maybe they won't, man. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they won't. You have yourself an amazing big-headed weekend, James Kelly. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Look at the Head. All right, so very quickly, the Head is 7-1-1, including last night's game.
That's right.
He's killing it with the NFL. He had Bryson DeChambeau plus 1,000. He hit that. He's done really well with the UFC. I thought that he was not going to take Izzy, but then he changed up at the last second. So do what you want with that. Understand that when we do that, that is for entertainment purposes only. Do not risk what you cannot afford to lose and all that stuff. That's entertaining. Especially when he hangs me out to dry like that when I'm done talking and says nothing. That was for entertainment purposes only. I found that to be very entertaining. Sunday. The NFL on CBS features some amazing matchups. You've got the league's top contenders, including the Raiders. Yeah, I said it. I said the league's top contenders, including the Raiders, on the road against the Patriots. Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Steelers.
Watson?
It all... It all starts with JB and the fellas, getting you set for the day starting at Sunday, noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. All right, small window for you. Top of hour number two. The way the third hour sets up, I'm going to go interview, week that was, ATP, huge call. In other words, it's going to be nearly impossible to get through next hour. Not impossible, but nearly impossible. So take the opportunity to hit me up right now. 1-800-636-8686. My thanks to the big head for coming in here and providing some intel and an awkward silence and some entertainment. Awkward. Been awkward.
Awkward.
That's not right.
Not officially cringy, just a little awkward. We talked about the Lakers. They got it done last night. They're up 3-1 on the Nuggets. The one thing I did mention, and I'll say it one more time, do not come in here and say, hey, Roma, the Nuggets are down 3-1. They've got the Lakers right where they want them. Really dumb. Really moronic. Don't do that. Don't go there. Be better than that. Don't be that person who does that. The flight deck just Lee Evans'd me hard.
It didn't affect what we were doing. You know, we still had to play, you know, regardless. And something you had to deal with. I think we did a good job of that.
It was throwback. I thought they were going to put you guys, like, in leather helmets and have you play that thing out in the parking lot or something. Lee Evans joining me on the program. Yeah, thanks for the reaction there, Leonard.
Miami.
Thanks, Lee. Play along. I mean, I've hosted this show. You know how many dumb lines athletes have said to me? I just play along and laugh. Come on, man. Pick me up, Lee. Lee was not going to tell me what I wanted to hear or give me any kind of reaction to that leather helmet blast. James Kelly, however, should know better. James Kelly's probably heard that soundbite a million times since he's worked here. And then he turns around and he does the same thing to me? Thank you very little, big head. Yeah, I know. I'm welcome even less. Micah Kaiser next.